The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie, because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How's it going? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy. We have got an interesting week of football ahead of us. There was one game of men's Gaelic football at the weekend. We had Waterford up against Longford in the refixed game. It turned into a bit of a thriller. We had a couple of schools finals that were quite interesting. And tonight, we're recording on Wednesday, there is the Sigerson Cup final between UL and UCC. UL, James O'Donoghue's alma mater, hoping to win their very first Sigerson title after going close in the last couple of years. And then this weekend, we've got a full suite of fixtures one more time. So we're going to be previewing that. And I've got Paddy and I've got James with me. How are you two doing, boys?
Very good, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, all well. All well.
This is your show, usually the Wednesday show, isn't it? You give us a bit of background about the life of Tommy Rooney.
Oh, I'd love to. Well, I can give you a bit of info. I made it over to a United game yesterday. Got tickets in the away end.
I seen that last night, too.
Yeah.
Went the run right. Came to an end, though, T, unfortunately.
Yeah, and was it my fault? Was I the jinx? Was I the... I don't know if I was, but...
Were you in the end where Sesko got the goal?
Yes, it was class. It was unbelievable. We were right behind it, and what a finish. And Casemiro got his disallowed, and Xerxes, I thought, had scored a header. So it was nice to get a goal, but yeah, cool experience. We had a... My father went over as well. We had a couple of pints across the day and enjoyable. Paddy, you were there Saturday in Old Trafford. You had a good day Saturday, didn't you?
Vaguely remember. They won, did they?
Yeah. So you didn't jinx them on Saturday.
No, it was good. We go over every year with schoolmates. There was seven of us over from Friday into the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. So boisterous celebrations.
I'm not gonna read out the full email, but we did get a message from a concerned listener who came across your very impressive retro Keane jersey in John Lennon Airport on Saturday, and he was wondering, did you make the flight home? But you did make the flight home.
I'm here. I'm recording from work today. Just about back to normal now on Wednesday. Lads, it's raining for about the 300th day in a row.
Yes.
Passing rain in Dublin again. And that's going to impact tonight. What is this the first time the Sigerson final is in Croke Park? The Fitzgibbon is there on Friday night as well. Like, what's...
Yeah.
Why is that happening? Pitches? Is it because of pitches? Or?
If I was to give you the exact reason, I haven't actually double checked that, but it is significant that it's in Croke Park. I'll have a little look now while we're chatting. But
that's it. I think it's class. Like, it'll look great on telly tonight. We're big Sigerson fans, Tommy. Jimmy, not so much.
Yeah, me and you.
I'm still scorned. I could have one in the back pocket. You will, though. Do you see the goal they got to draw the semi?
Absolutely glorious. Did you see, I think Andrew Moynihan had it up on Twitter. He must have been behind the goals in Abbottstown. Did you see that version
yes,
of it?
Yes, yeah.
And you can hear the ball smashing off the statue.
I think the ordinary angle is unbelievable because it looks like it's going over and it dips just to get it into the stanchion. It's unbelievable goal.
Did you spot...
You'll be Conor a legend Dawson's? Around college there after that.
Ah, yeah. Kyle Brosnan. Oh. Kerry man.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have had a good couple of days after that.
Did you spot Conall Dawson? So there were five down. It was heartbreaking for Queens. There were five down going into injury time in biblical conditions last weekend. Conall Dawson's outside of the left boot two-pointer. Did you see this? You might have missed it. He literally, because the wind is that bad, he aims it for the corner flag and whips it back over. And it just kind of keeps them alive. And then Brosnan obviously gets that unbelievable goal. So yeah,
it's like one of your kicks. Really, kind of corner flag bound.
Oh, yeah. You talking about me or Paddy?
Both. That's viable for both of us there.
Yeah. That's going to be a really interesting game tonight. And two panels stacked with talent. Like, a fair few Mayo boys. Fellas, and this is an interesting one. Like, fellas who have got... Some of them have got minutes under Andy Moore and so far. Like, Keane McHale, who I know they're fond of. A left-footer. I think he scored 1-8 the other night and was involved in a couple of turnovers. Conall Dawson. But it's tricky as well when you're trying to break into an inter-county team, but also play Sigerson, because there's a totally different flow to the game, Paddy. Like, it's a bit more free-flowing and not as maybe physically as taxing maybe as an inter-county game.
But it was also, like, the early rounds of the league and of the pre-season competitions, like, that was the time, if you were trying to break into the inter-county team, you'd get, those are the games you play. You know, so I know the preseason competitions came back this year, but they're probably not long for this world. But if you're a 20, 21, 22-year-old, the games you're going to get, kind of guaranteed, are those games in January where it's your Burn Cup, the McGrath Cup, the FPD League, or up to McKenna Cup. Whereas if you're in university preparing for Sigerson, you're playing in those competitions with your college team, and then you want to win the Sigerson into February, and you're probably not available for selection in most cases for the first two or three rounds of the National League. So that was an awkward one, definitely. But I don't know. As I said before, a big fan of the competition. And if you, like the guys tonight, it's a massive game. It's on telly. Whoever wins this and someone shoots the lights out, that equally propels them right into the shop window for their inter-county managers. Probably not for this weekend, because if they win on a Wednesday night, they're probably going to be celebrating tonight and tomorrow and maybe not feeling too sharp come Friday for a weekend game. But there's definitely, it's not the same level. Absolutely not. But it's an important stepping stone. If you're a dominant Sigerson player, the next natural stage is, and you'd be one of your main club players, obviously, but the next stage is then you'll get minutes in the National League, and that's the step up. So, but yeah, the biggest impact was that you probably were unavailable for those games where you're guaranteed to get into county minutes if you're trying to break.
Where you might get minutes. Yeah, absolutely. And like,
but even the fact is that
the likes of Mayo and a Donegal, they're two wins from two.
That's class. That's deadly, yeah.
Like, when would you ever get the chance to play in Croke Park outside of, you know, a National League game or a championship match? Usually, like, so if you can show your stuff in Croke Park in a massive final like that, it'd be unbelievable for your development and for your confidence and for your chances.
Yeah, there's 8 different counties on the UL 15. There's actually 6 Mayo fellas. Didn't realize there was that many. So they're coached by David Power, who obviously guided Tip to that minor All-Ireland title back in the day, and also the Munster title during COVID. And Killian Fair, who I would have played with in Cratlow, is their coach as well. So an interesting backroom team in UL, and they've been chasing that Sigerson title, obviously, over the last couple of years. And then on the UCC side, Paul O'Keefe is coaching them from the Bears, and they've got Billy Morgan involved, and Luke Connolly's on the backroom team as well there, and a clatter of talents from Cork and Kerry stacked in that team as well. They're just behind UCD on the roll of honour, so it'll be an exciting game tonight. It's fairly evenly matched up as well, so well, we're keeping an eye on, and we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that game ourselves.
And conditions, Toby, with Croker, of all the places, it's, even though it's rained, like I said, for pretty much the whole of 2026 in Dublin, floods everywhere, Croker will hold up all right. So it's the added bonus. It's going to be a class pitch to play on for the lads and for their supporters to go into. Make a nice night of it in Dublin. But it'll hold up well as well. Perfect. What a gig. I'd love to be playing. Jesus.
Best of luck to both teams. And the Fitzgibbon Cup final on Friday as well. That's going to be a decent game in the hurling on Friday night too. So Mary Immaculate College and UL again in that one.
Oh, Limerick, yeah.
Interesting. James, have you got a second county?
No.
A second favourite team? No, a soft spot for somebody, no?
Soft spot? I don't think so. You're going to hit me with something I said 5 years ago or something. I don't think so, Tom.
Cork.
No. Okay. No, well, I like the Munster final, the old Munster final days, Kerry Cork. They're just ingrained in my upbringing, so I miss those days. I don't think I have a soft spot for anyone, though.
Okay. You're fond of that Galway jersey, is what I'm getting.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice. Supermax. Class.
Do I wear this a lot?
I've seen it on you once or twice, yeah, but it's a nice one.
Before, yeah.
Yeah.
It's handy. It's nice actually, one. Yeah, it's a good one for training.
Yeah.
I think it could be Conrad. I actually don't know who it is. It's shrunk in the wash a couple of times, so. It's me nicely now.
Still, Paddy,
you don't have a second team, Paddy, do you? A second county?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
It's kind of not really a thing, is it?
No.
It's
blasphemy. If you can wear GA
gear.
Yeah,
when you play, Jimmy, maybe when you were younger, no? Did you not? Wexford Hurlers when I was younger, because we used to go to Wexford in the summer. So this is like before, but only you become. You've no joy in football anymore once you play inter-county. It's like all the innocence and enjoyment is gone.
You hate everyone.
But growing up, I liked Armagh, lads. McGeaney's Armagh team. They had a great story there. The Galway,
I love that Tyrone team.
Cormac Joyce. Kerry as well there. I'm trying to think. Watching the Sunday game.
I suppose you'd
week,
see.
Religiously,
when,
as a
you
kid.
Know, when we were growing up, you'd see so little games. Like, do you know, you might see someone three times a year, max.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
There's probably more players that you were probably fond of. Or,
I suppose just the ones with the longevity that you saw a couple of years in a row, really, because there was only three or four games a year. I don't think I had a soft spot for anyone. I used to like the Leinster Championship just because it was the most frantic back in the day.
Mate, I hope we're getting back
there. See, I'm older than you, Jimmy. Like, what? When would you...
I'm like 28.
You wouldn't have been around... You're only young, Flutter. Like, you would have missed Boylan and Maid originally, would you? 96, no. 99.
Oh, yeah.
But like Mikko, no. Lee,
I was in my David Beckham era in 99.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Big so you weren't in Croke Park. You weren't in Croke Park the day of the 2-14 to 1-5, no?
No.
All Ireland semi final, the Ole Ole's.
I watched it on a small TV, right? We had a small TV in the den or the small sitting room. And it was on wheels. So we actually, I remember it was that game, loads of games, but this one in particular, we wheeled it around in front of the door and we were having our Sunday dinner. We were watching the game on the wheelie TV class.
I thought you were going to wheel it out of the gaff. The longer it went on, like.
TV ended up that on the ditch.
Yeah, exactly.
They were good days, though. That was an awful day. I think my first
time. What was your first time going to Croker?
That was my first time. That was my first time going to Croker. 2001, I was
first
eight.
Match? Whereabouts?
Me, Terry. Sitting in the Cusick stand. Looking across, and I can remember John McDermott that day, his performance, and I think Kerry had a goal chance early door. I think Darrow Kinnaid hit the post maybe early on, but after that me just,
I think you were right, I think Kerry was soft after that.
I don't know if I can picture. I just know when I was in the kids' side. I don't know what that dig was, James, but I'm a long time waiting for Meade to get back to beat Kerry again.
No, I just meant you were saying that Kerry were soft after that game, I think.
They approached it with a degree of
25 years later. Like.
Yeah, I waited, but
I was at the 2000 final.
Was that your first one in Croke Park?
That was my first one in Croke Park.
The drawn game, the one with
the, do you know, like the pointy, the hat with the bells on the top of it.
So that's Paul Clancy's pass to Declan Meehan. Is this final the drawn one that you went to, or did you go to?
Yeah, I went to the drawn one. Yeah, the drawn one.
One of the greatest goals in All Ireland final ever scored. Paddy, what was yours?
That was some goal.
First time in Croker.
They were training Croker under eight.
It was there stair for like a Saturday kick around.
They were getting breakfast and dinner delivered.
Honestly, I think it was the 99 Leinster final. It was another good day for the Royals. They were sitting on the top of the Cusick stand, and it was the old Croker. So they knocked it down. They knocked down the Hogan stand and the Nally stand after the 99 championship. Is that right?
Well, the 1999 presentations were on the field.
But it was the Hogan stand, the old Hogan stand was still there, me, Beck Hawk, in the rain.
Yeah.
And 2000 was on the field as well, wasn't it? Seamus Mine lifted on the field, I think.
The stand was knocked down by then.
Yeah. For 2000,
yeah. Yeah. So, 99, geez, I was late. I would have been 10. Yeah. Leinster final that July.
That would have been Meade in Dublin, right?
Meade won well. My brother was playing.
Yeah. Okay.
He was marking Ollie Murphy. Tough day at the office.
Ollie Murphy
scored. It was kind of right along par with me trying to mark the Gooch 10 years later. That's how well it went. But all my family were in it. Yeah, top of the old Cusick stand.
Class.
Fall in love with it, don't you?
The kids listening to the show. First time you walk up the steps in the stand and look out onto the field is breathtaking. It's actually a shock to the system when you do that for the first time, I think. The first couple of times.
Yeah. And you get different perspectives, I think, everywhere you sit. Like, I've watched a couple of championship games over on the hillside of the Cusick stand, up high, elevated. I remember watching an international rules game up. I don't think there's a bad seat in Croke Park, but up behind nearly behind the TV over by the Davin and the Hogan as well. Like, honestly, way up in the skies. But you get such a different perspective on the game.
Yeah, you get a different angle of someone's game or someone's performance that you can take.
Lads, there's a full suite of fixtures this weekend. So let's just rattle into them because there's some really, really interesting matchups and games and teams pitted against each other in different scenarios. So in Division 4, we have got Waterford up against Wicklow in Fraher Field. We have got London against Leitrim. We have got Antrim, who are struggling at the minute and have lost another one of their key players, taking on Longford, and Tipperary up against Carlow. So Carlow have been motoring really well in Division 4. And there's a couple of very interesting matchups there. As I mentioned last weekend in the football, we had Waterford 3-14, Longford 2-18, and it was a very, very late winner there. So Waterford and Longford played out an absolute thriller in that refix game last weekend. So some interesting games in that Division 4 this weekend. In Division 3 as well, we've got a really good matchup between Down and Westmeath. So as we mentioned last week, Down went 2-2 after beating Limerick, and Westmeath ended up going down to Clare and coming away with a win. Bit of disappointment, I think, in Clare with more so the manner of the performance, and Clare are going to have to probably pull something out in the next week or two if they're going to get their season motoring a little bit. They're in the bottom two of Fermanagh. They've lost both games this year, both of those. So Laois and Limerick are locked on a point. Limerick are playing Wexford this weekend, who are top of the table, and Laois are up against Sligo. So they're all fairly decent matchups in Division 3. In Division 2, the old rivals, Meath and Louth, facing each other in a doubleheader in Croke Park, with Dublin and Monaghan in Division 1. So that's going to be two decent games in Division 1, and a lot in the line in both of those games, Division 1, Division 2. The other games in Division 2 are pretty spicy as well. You've got a Kildare side, who we've mentioned last week and we featured last week, moving really well under Brian Flanagan, and they're hosting Derry this weekend. Derry obviously getting that win last week, getting the monkey off the back, and it'll be just really interesting to see what way those two match up and where both of them are sitting after this result, because you could have either Kildare on 5 points with a win and in a really good position, or you could have Derry joining the leading pack on 4 points either. And Offaly are taking on Cork. Offaly rooted to the bottom of the table, a big chance for Cork to kind of put themselves right in the framework for promotion. They're 2-2 alongside Meath at the minute, and Tyrone are taking on Cavan, who have been unlucky in their game so far, falling short late on against both Meath and Cork. So good games there. And in Division 1, we have got Donegal against Mayo, Dublin against Monaghan, Kerry against Galway, and Roscommon against Armagh. So some really decent games. Where do you want to start, lads?
It's getting to that stage, you kind of said it, like even the Kildare Derry game you mentioned. After round three, you get a sense of, okay, these cohort of teams are going to be facing relegation battles, and this cohort of teams are facing promotion. So I think it becomes a lot clearer. They've had the couple of weeks off as well. I'd imagine on the club side of things, we'll start seeing any of those players who had runs with their clubs in the All-Ireland series at intermediate and senior will be back involved as well. Like, so I think after this weekend, you get a real sense of where teams are at, whereas the first two rounds are a bit up and down. But there's some brilliant games. Brilliant games.
I think that Tyrone Cavan game is a big game. It's a really big game. If you think about kind of the way you're preparing for the National League, and you're confident, you're the good feeling in the group, I'm just thinking from a Cavan point of view, and they have those two results at the start where they're pipped, it can turn really difficult. I'm not saying turn sour, it just turns more difficult straight away. Like if they had got two results there, they'd be looking up and they would be absolutely buzzing. They're after losing both games so narrowly in the last second circumstances, the both of them, and now they're there with no points. Suddenly you look at the fixtures and you've got Tyrone. Like there's no let up then. It just becomes a bit of a struggle. I still think the Cavan have a lot of great work done and are actually playing excellent football. It's just an interesting fixture because at this time of year, I know it's early and I know that we can't kind of read into these games come championship, but a bad start. We saw it with Derry, you know, how they found it hard to shake off those bad results. You need to pick one up, and the longer it goes on, you know, you don't want any hard luck stories. You need to get that result on the board. And then Tyrone, I mean, we had Tyrone down for promotion. I thought they'd bounce straight back up. I think I can't see that happening now already. I think they're going to struggle to get back up. I don't think they're going to go back up to one this year. I don't think they'll make the top two. So they need, I can't see it happening from watching their game so far. They just don't look they don't look at it, They don't look like they're going to win the rest of their games, which they'll have to. So it'll be interesting to see who picks up those points this weekend. I think that's the most the most kind of intriguing game in Division 2.
So you're going on the record now and saying that you wouldn't expect Tyrone. Okay, so they've got Cavan at home, Louth away, Offaly at home. How many points are you giving Tyrone there?
Close, maybe 4.
2 points, okay. Max.
Okay, and then they've got
that is spicy, like
I like this.
If you're trying to get up, like, your first two games are nearly your most important, because by the end of the league, someone's fighting for their life, someone's trying to get up as well. The games become a lot harder. You know, the first couple of games are almost just ability alone. No one's really playing for anything, because the league hasn't taken on its life yet. By the end of the league, there's a manager who's got his neck on the line. There's a player who needs to find a bit of form. There's fitness coming back in. Fellas are sharper. There's promotion on the line, relegation on the line. So, yeah, I think that both Derry and Tyrone are going to... And I said, from day one, I expect them to go back up. I'm worried that... Not worried, but I'd be fearful that neither of them will go up.
Well, look, if Malachy O'Rourke's kit man is planning to play this audio in the dressing room this weekend, it's worth pointing and painting the picture that if they do beat Cavan, Louth and Offaly, they'll be on 7 points, right? And if the form line's continuing the way they're going, their next two games and their final two games are against Meath and Cork. So you're going up against two teams that you'd imagine might be still in the mix later on. Now, it's a lot of football still to be played, but...
But they'll have to win both of them.
They have to win every game. That's what I mean. Yeah. So it's tight.
One more up and you're in trouble.
Yeah, so that's
what we say. It's the best division. It's most riding on it. Everyone wants to get promoted. Division 1, we always say there's a little bit of teams are just kind of finding a bit of form and stuff like that, but there's genuine stuff on the line in Division 2. They all want to get up. There's the Sam Maguire Talton mix as well, that you don't want to be caught out down the bottom. But I agree. Tyrone has slammed dunks to go back up, and they've been disappointing what we've seen so far, but that's like I was saying earlier, I think you get a really clear picture by Sunday night of where teams are at. And if Tyrone go out, Cavan have been good, but they've been unlucky. If Tyrone go out and win that game comfortably, I'd still think they're going to get promoted. I think the second place to go up is a tricky one, with Derry's slow start, Meath and Kildare are going well, and Cork obviously going well. So listen, all the best storylines, I think, in the league every year, Division 2.
The thing is, with Tyrone, right, and I know myself even from playing, Tyrone coming to town is a huge day for you. Like, it's like you're really... That's the game, that every single team in that division is going to be like, lads, it's Tyrone this weekend. This is one we really tune into and clock onto. This isn't just an ordinary National League game. This is like, they'll almost be preparing for that, like a championship match is in. We can really gauge where we're fixed here. So that's why I think that's going to be difficult for Tyrone as well. One more slip up and they're probably out of the running. And I'm expecting they will slip up once more.
Declan Bogue broke the story last week that the Down Footballers flew out on Friday afternoon last weekend for a four-night training camp in the Algarve. Now, I don't know.
Chilly over here at the moment, is it?
I think it was a bit chilly. I think so, yeah. There was a bit of talk
chilly
like
is it here, friends.
But Down, obviously, with 2 wins from 2, okay, and they're obviously targeting a big Ulster Championship. They got Donegal in April. They're, you know, you guys have spoken before about how much, even the contact time and how much work you can get done as a group and even getting together, regardless of the football side of things, it can make a massive difference. Tyrone didn't go on a training camp, but might they have been able to find a bit of something in the last 2 weeks to spark it? Like, not just Tyrone, but other counties that have maybe not had the start.
Tyrone haven't been terrible, Tommy. Like, do you know what I mean?
No, they haven't. No.
Yeah. I would say there was a lot of weather teams. I don't think there's many teams where they went away for 4 nights, but I think there would have been a lot of kind of training camps across the board. This is the 2 week window, and now it's full on again for the next few weeks as well. But I think a lot of teams would have done a lot of work. Even in the old National League structure, Jimmy, there was this gap where you'd review and go, okay, we've played these couple of games. Lots of players in all divisions and all teams will have got opportunities. And some guys will have taken them and stood up. Some guys may have not. we're now into the season where maybe the more established guys are starting to come back in. They've been doing a bit of training away from the group. And like I said earlier, the club players from the successful teams, intermediate, junior and all that stuff, and senior, will probably be brought back into the team as well. So I think lots of teams will have done lots of work last weekend. And we said it. Teams have had a bad start. There's no two ways about it across the divisions. They'll have had some hard conversations last week, and they'll be looking for a bounce back. And then for teams like a Meath or a Cork or what Mayo and Donegal have done in Division 1 on their side, Wexford as well, got off to a flying start. They'll be feeling good about themselves, but they'll be guarding against going, okay, that's the first block of the season. We want to make sure that we don't take our foot off the gas here this weekend. That's why this weekend is just, you learn a lot more about all the teams, the coaches, what they're trying to do, and some of those players, the newer guys that have come on the scene, they'll be marked men now. They might have got away in their first two games or they're under the radar a bit, whereas there'll be a lot of analysis done for all of these games this weekend. I think it's a big weekend in the football season, and we'll, as you said, Jimmy, kind of start pointing the direction teams are moving in, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't got eyes on Offaly yet, but they've been disappointing so far, just going by the reports and the results. They're up against Cork. Stephen Sherlock started the last day, kicked 8 points against Loud, and watching some of the highlights of that game and listening to Gavin Devlin and Sam Mulroy after it, Loud just were not anywhere near where they'd expect to be in a game like that, especially at home. I think they dropped maybe 6 shots short, conceded off a lot of those shots, dropped short, kicked 10 wides, and weren't really at the races. They were, I think, 8 down at half time and could have been 8 down again towards the end and scored a late goal. So it was 5 in the gap.
I think the Gavin Devlin's job, Tom, is it's going to be a lot of almost psychological work with that Loud team this year, because they're coming off the back of that incredible Leinster Championship, right, where you could say dreams came true, you know, on that day for a lot of supporters and players and families and everything. And it's so quickly forgotten. You need to just park it. It's on to this year. But, like, they need to shake that off and be fighting for their lives again. Because that's how they got to that level. It's how they got there. They were fighting for every last thing. Obviously, had the sprinkling of unbelievable quality across the field as well, with Mulroy and Lennon and these fellas. But, like, they need to get back to that place mentally. Because I can't imagine Cork going up there. I think Loud actually had a great record against Cork in the last couple of meetings they had. I think they might just be struggling to get back to the pitch of it.
That way, is this weekend then the perfect game for them? It's the repeat of that famous day. It's in Croke Park as well. You know, I think the Meath players are loving playing in Croke Park as well and playing all the National League games there. But like I say, for Loud, I keep reiterating this point, if this kind of stirs up that our greatest ever day for a lot of those players was in this stadium against this opposition only 6-7 months ago. What an opportunity. They're going to bounce into that game and they go and beat Meath again, kind of put a bit of a dent in Robbie Brennan and Meath's feel-good factor. That could be the boost that Gavin Devlin is looking for those guys. But on the flip side, Meath carry on with what they've been doing and the buzz around Robbie Brennan was on that great new show, The View, there last week. We said about Meath, they're just, they seem like a team in a great place. You see the joy between the players on the pitch, the way they celebrate, their backroom team, everyone there. It just seems like a place. And we've all been in teams like this at different stages in our career where, like, those lads must be bouncing into training. They can't wait to get to training on Tuesday night, on Thursday night. Doesn't matter who they're playing at the weekend. It's just an exciting group to be a part of, and the supporters are coming along with it. And that game is a big game for Loud, but it would be a great win. And if Meath win that on Saturday night in Croker, they've put themselves really in pole position to get promoted to Division 1, which, whether they've said this publicly or not, that would be a massive milestone for Robbie Brennan and those players as well. So, like I say, that's another massive game in Division 2 and the direction both those teams were going, and both of them were stories of the championship last year.
Yeah, I wrote a piece for the program at the weekend, and just to give you one or two little bits from it, from just doing a bit of research, obviously the two of them Sorry, the Meath and Louth game. Obviously, the two of them, their summers were ended by Donegal, hammerings last year by Donegal in the championship. So kind of was shaping around some of the clues that maybe Donegal left them, how they might be able to improve. And one of the big things for Meath, right? So defensively, Aaron Kernan's come in. And Brian O'Halloran was chatting after a win against Cavan, talking about how a lot of them have bulked up a lot in the last 6 months, a lot of the Meath footballers. They feel like they've put on a little bit more size to be able to compete. That was definitely an issue in the second half of the Donegal game last year. But Kernan's doing a lot of work in their one-on-one defending too, so it was interesting to hear him talking about that. Secondly, depth was a massive thing. Brian Menting was off injured that day after 20 minutes, and Meath were so heavily reliant on a 34-year-old midfielder throughout last year. He was back after 3 years out, and he had such a big impact on Meath. But this year, I'm not sure if you've spotted him, lads. I'm not talking about a player to watch here, because he's somebody that's been on the radar for a while. He's 25 years old, but Cian McBride has had an unbelievable impact in Meath's two games so far. Comes on in the Derry game, Meath are a point up, 20 minutes to go. He contests four kickouts with Brendan Rodgers and Conor Glass. He wins three of them clean, breaks another one to a Meath man. He drives forward off one of the clean catches and wins a two-point free that Jack Flynn converts. Against Cavan, he starts the game. He wins both throw-ins at either side of the half, or he forces Meath to win the possession in them. He contests 12 kickouts in that game. He wins six of them clean. He wins a free off another, breaks another three down to teammates, and two late in the second half when he started to wane a little bit, weren't collected by Meath teammates. But what that meant was McBride being part of this midfield triumvirate with Menton and Jack Flynn. Jack Flynn kicks the winning score. He has the legs to kick the winning score late on. Brian Menton wins the kick out off it in the 70th minute of the game, the final kick out of the game. So I think Meath are starting to maybe, they haven't given out many debuts in the league. That one fella come off the bench, Josie Martin, for his first league debut, but they've started to get bodies back and share the load a little bit. And I think having a fella that size and Cian McBride, if he can continue to develop in the manner in which he might be able to, because he was off in the AFL for 3 years and he racked up these freakish numbers in the 2 kilometre time trial and the 20 metre sprints, but he just wasn't able to unlock it back in Ireland. And when he came home, and interestingly, in the summer, he switched clubs from St. Olten's, a junior club in Meath, up to his father's home club in Donegal, Nadunov, Downing. So he played Donegal senior championship football from August and September as they got to
beautiful part of the country up there, T.
Beautiful. And I was looking through the Donegal match reports and Peter Campbell's piece. Don't know where he got the line from, but there was a kind of insinuation that Jim McGuinness would be looking to try and call him up, McBride. So Meath did well to hold on to him, I think, this summer.
Blocked him
and
in.
Start to unlock a little bit in him. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs now against a Louth midfield this weekend, who will be looking to bounce back as well.
I can't see past Meath in this one at the moment. They're on the crest of a wave. Even when you see Flynn kicking the winner the last day, and the reaction of all the players and the sideline and the crowd is with them, and they've just got something going at the moment. They're on it. And one thing about Meath, you say different styles of play and all that. I think they have scores from all over the field. Like, they have two-pointers from everywhere. They have the half-back line coming up the field scoring. They have obviously Morris and Frayne and Costello and these fellas up front. They just have scores from everywhere. For Division 2, I think they're going to be, I think they're probably rated, you know, in the top two at the moment. I think they're going to keep going that way. I can't see them being stopped this weekend. And whatever happened when they lost that Leinster final last year, it gave them a kick and a little bit of a boost to say, right, we've lost that, but this isn't the end for us. And obviously they got to All Ireland semi-final, which they've taken the confidence from. But they're just looking like they're on the right path. Everyone just seems together. I'm looking forward to seeing how they get on, because they're definitely on the right route.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Interesting games, I think, those matchups. Let's move briefly on to Division 1 here, because there's some other good games here as well. I mentioned size there and Cian McBride. Jim McGuinness and Donegal are going up against Andy Moran's Mayo on Sunday in Letterkenny. I was listening to the RF podcast and John Harron was on and he was talking about, I think it's a sellout already, and they're hoping to add another 1,000 or so tickets. I think they can only get 10,000 or maybe 9,000 at the minute. They're hoping to add another 1,000 in. But these are two teams now with two wins from two. Like, there's players you'd imagine on the periphery of their panel, or fellas that are trying to break in that might get a run this weekend. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what team they both go for. But one thing that's been very clear from the 15s that they've put out, and Jim McGuinness highlighted this in his post-match comments last week, he picked out three Mayo players he'd been really impressed with. He went for Aidan O'Shea, who's only played the start of one game, Jack Kearney and Jordan Flynn. But he spoke about their size and their athleticism and how Mayo are stacking big men across that middle third, which is a very obvious and probably not necessary thing to do at the minute. But Donegal are doing the exact same thing. They brought in young Kieran Gallagher this year, big man, Hugh McFadden starting, Michael Langan is starting, Jason McGee is starting. They've huge units now. So it'll be very interesting to see the size dynamic, I think, in Letterkenny this weekend between two fairly sizable teams that have a bit of momentum behind them as well.
Isn't that the game? Isn't that the rules now? The fact that kickouts, with Jordan, were going long. It's a real battle around there. And if you win those kickouts clean or you win the break off them and get a tap down, there's a massive opportunity. The quicker you get the ball up the pitch. So that's just reality, the new rules. Every team needs to have these massive players where, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was around possession. Let's get possession. Let's be really nuanced and chip it out short and let's patiently build it up. This is more exciting to watch. It's more chaotic. But I think any of the top teams, we've seen what Kerry did last year in their run, what we were hoping, definitely Galway supporters were hoping, but as neutrals going, Galway have all these guys stacked across the middle. You need to have physicality and dominance around the middle third. And it's no secret that two of the top teams in Donegal and Mayo so far have that. You know, I was unfortunately looking on the opening night of the league in Croke Park when Dublin were just absolutely wiped by Donegal, and Dublin had a kind of rookie enough midfield pairing. But you look at Donegal, McFadden, Langan, Jason McGee is a monster. That's as good as anything that's out there. So I think it's a brilliant game. I think both teams, I don't think we're into the stage of kind of throwing their arse at games or anything like that, or giving a, I think both these teams will want to keep the momentum up, most certainly. Donegal are probably further down the tracks than Andy's Mayo side. But I'm very much looking forward to that game. Because they've been the two best teams we've seen so far.
I think it's a big game for Mayo. I agree. I think Donegal are further down the line. I think the Mayo can catch up quickly with Andy, no doubt about it. But I think the Donegal are really fair. They're ready. They're nearly ready to win the whole thing. But the championship, like, you know, that's where they're thinking. I don't know. Andy's probably thinking this year, but he's still probably thinking maybe next year we'll be in a better place. But I think that Mayo can really find out where they are. No. Going up to Donegal, if you come away there with a win, it's just a great, great thing for the group. And it would be really, it's like, lads, we really are on the right path here. We're going somewhere. And think about Mayo, if you look at their team, they actually do have those one-on-one defenders that are well capable of marking and doing good marking jobs. Hessian, Brickenden, Jack Coyne, Callanan. Like, these fellas can mark one-on-one, don't mind a bit of space. They had gaps in their defence over the year, the last couple of years, where maybe they picked bad matchups for certain individuals. Maybe they left them in too much space. Whatever they were doing, they were getting exposed by one or two forwards every time a big game came along. But I think their defenders are of a good age and are very, very good one-on-one defenders. It'll be interesting to see if they can score enough down the other end. I think they can. I think they're on the right track there with Byrne, Ryan O'Donoghue at 11. Obviously, with Kearney and Flynn on the wings, they're looking like good, solid players. We didn't really know where Kearney was going to end up. Was, you know, he's playing 14 and coming out. He was playing midfield. He was playing 11. I think 10. When I've seen him at 10, I think it suits
Flynn's,
him.
Flynn's been midfield with Bob Toohey. Like, I've been trying to figure out their shape there. McBrien has kind of been 6 and Flynn in 2 year kind of...
Yeah,
midfield,
yeah.
And,
like Flynn would be nearly the same.
He gets shots off, doesn't he? Like,
yeah, he gets
game, no matter whether he's in the half forward line or midfield, he's good for. They don't always go over, but in terms of, like, Andy spoke with us, I think with you, Tommy, after the Dublin game, he was like, Jimmy, you always make this point. We need to get to 20 points. Like, that has to be. We need
at least now.
Broader scoring threat than just, you know, back at the Killian O'Connor or we. So many times, Aidan O'Shea is not a massive scoring threat. You know, he's pivotal to making that forward line work. and distracting defences and creating space for other people. Like, but you aren't getting to where you want to go unless you're consistently breaking at least 20 points. So having that threat from midfield, from the half-forward line, and the likes, Kearney, I agree. I think he impacts games. And it's not always perfect. Same with Jordan Flynn. It's not always perfect, but if you're watching a Mayo game, they are involved heavily. And they're getting shots off. And to your point, Jimmy, a lot of these Mayo guys have lots of miles on the clock. They have experience, and we know lots of them. But it feels like it's just a new beginning with Andy going in there. A couple of younger players coming through. And like, even though Aidan O'Shea has been around so, so long, a win at the weekend against Donegal, who are rightly top two, three teams in the country, without a shadow of a doubt, that's a big win for a group, a new group. And that's why I think both teams will be absolutely gunning for this.
Yeah.
And the way it's panning out, it wouldn't be any surprise if we see both of these teams in a league final.
Yeah, you know, potentially,
You know, 6 weeks' time or so.
Yeah,
and there's the things are going in Division One. But
there's that extra gap between the championship as well. So might be interesting to see what happens there. Mayo have like a freakishly good record against Donegal in the last decade and change. Obviously,
since
last year, Kieran Moore.
It's from 13 on.
Kieran Moore has that dramatic winner last year after they got what they thought was an equaliser. Yeah. But besides that, I don't think Donegal have beaten them in the league since 2016. I'm just having a scan here on the Stats and Solos website, which I think has been a really, really great addition to the kind of GA media landscape. The man behind it has been kind of developing different algorithms and kind of prediction models around the games, and has input an incredible amount of data. And he's got all the kind of head-to-heads here and the kind of average scoring over the years, and as a slightly different model to maybe how the bookmakers might price a game or set up a game. But interesting to know, the bookies have Donegal as 2-point favourites, and on the Stats and Solo websites here, they kind of have a 3-point gap here between Donegal and Mayo. But I would say, with the caveat that they're not factoring in on the Stats and Solo website, you know, maybe team news or maybe momentum or a few other bits and pieces there that are very difficult to account for. So I'd say it's going to be a fairly tight game.
Do you know what gets you over the line sometimes in those tight games, Tom? And Henley is a brilliant kicker off the ground, centrally and maybe to the left with the right. But like, Mayo are still missing a left-legged free taker. And
I'm just saying that they have started implementing two young Gossens now, Dara Byrne and Keane McHale. And Keane McHale is a left-footed free taker.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, experience.
Is Keane McHale not going to be celebrating for the next 3 days, though, if they win tonight?
Possibly. Mm. Possibly. I don't think he'll be there this weekend, for sure.
I think they have to almost make it a strength, because it's cost them the last couple of years. There's been important kicks, and you can tell it's almost like, who's taking it, or do you fancy it? It has to be something that's nailed down. We see with the teams at the top levels, if it comes down to a point or 2 points, and you don't have a left leg free taker on the ground, and you miss one, it's a killer. It's a killer for everyone. There has to be a space in the team for a left leg free taker, always. Because guaranteed, come the latter stages, you will get a tight kick with the left, and you need someone on the field. We saw Connolly actually kick one in. Was it not on the final? He kicked one with the Clifford guess one. Like, they're not easy kicks, especially under pressure. And you have to be tried and trusted again and again and again to be able to deliver in that big moment. So I hope they sort that as well, because it'll be something that'll creep up on them.
Yeah. A couple of other matchups. It's a good point. I think we'll keep an eye on it. A couple of other matchups this weekend, Division 1, are going to have good games. I'm covering Roscommon Armagh for Off the Ball on Sunday, so I think we'll have a good breakdown of that next week. The Rossies put up a big score in Monaghan last week. Enda Smith with 2-2. Could have scored a hat-trick, was a tour de force in that game, and delivering again. And obviously Derek Craig was brilliant in the first game down, and when they were so unlucky against Kerry. So the Rossies going under the radar a little bit, and up against an Armagh side who have been impressive, one win and one defeat so far, but they've been impressive. So that's going to be a good game, I think. And then, Paddy, Dublin Monaghan, it's two teams kind of in a bit of bother already, and I think Dublin definitely need a performance at home this weekend against one of their, we talk about bogey teams, Monaghan have been a bit of a bogey team for Dublin in the league as well, haven't they, over the last couple of years?
this is a massive game for both of these teams. Like, if you look at the start of the league, you felt relegation wise, you look at the two teams that come up from Division 2 and you felt like Dublin might struggle as well. Whoever loses this game on Saturday in Croker, you'd have to say
you're gone.
Probably gone. They're probably gone. Like, yeah,
you're gone. So, and you can play that. You can play that in the dressing room as well. They are gone.
Is it 7 points or is it?
Sure, bloody Tyrone got relegated on 7 points last year.
Tyrone got relegated with seven. Last year was a bit of an anomaly with it, but
yes,
you would look like for a team after this weekend. Back to what we said at the start of the show: if you're going 0-3 after this weekend, you are under severe pressure, and
you're now questioning everything. Then,
and whatever about Gabriel Brennigan and Monaghan haven't come back up. I'm surprised they've been as porous as they have been. That opening night against Armagh was just really, really surprising for Monaghan. Just not what you'd expect from them. And then on Dublin's side, Jay Brennan, there's lots of stuff going on with players and trying to find all these players and how are Dublin going to play and all that type of stuff. And naturally a focus on it. Like, no matter what way you spin it, you don't want to be relegated. I don't see any way where you can come out and say, well, we don't really care about that. I think that would not be good news. So this is a massive game for both of those teams. No two ways about it.
Do you know what's funny? It's funny when say the management are thinking, when they're trying to get new players through and you might win by a point and they're like, yeah, this fella, he's stuck in there. You lose that game by a point, he's not good enough. Do you know, like, it's those tiny little marriages. You could be cut adrift. You just want to be involved in that team that gets the result. Do you know what I mean? And it gets your footing, especially for those Dublin lads who are new and trying to get something going. Just be on the team that gets a result, because the question marks around you then if you keep losing.
It's good, man. Like, it is funny, but that's a thing, isn't it? Like,
it is.
Managers and coaches will look at a performance of a team. I was like, that was a big win. And they looked through. Whether the individual in question was like the game breaker or not, it was like, that guy was playing that. That was a big win for the team in the season. Yeah. And he was playing that day. So like, you're guilty by association on one side if you lose. But if you win, it can definitely work in your favour. But that'll be a very, very tight game. I've slight upper hand the last couple of years, but they're always
tight. Unbeaten in the last 5 league games. Monaghan won by a point three times. They drew once, and Monaghan relegated Dublin obviously as well at one stage. So it's going to be, or it's going to relegate them twice. It's going to, not at once. It was one relegation game, wasn't it? It was one. But body-wise, like Conn O'Callaghan, being ruled out late on after a bit of a hamstring niggle, we were told the last, it was obviously a massive loss, but Theo Clancy and Lee Gannon, I think they're a little bit away. There was a bit of talk. James McCarthy was doing a Sigerson preview during the week, a bit of a press day, and I saw him speaking about the loss of Pat O'Coffey Byrne and how important he'll be to come back. So, you know, even for somebody, and Colin Basquel as well, obviously, who was brilliant with the club again and had a great campaign. Even for some of the younger lads that are trying to make their impact, or trying to break into this Dublin team, you nearly feel for them a bit that there aren't a few more bodies around to help them integrate as well. So, yeah, can't believe I said that as a meat man. James, will you be wearing the Galway jersey?
He'd feeling sorry for the Dubs. Like, this is something.
Not a good place to be.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, but even that fixture just doesn't jump out of the page at the moment. You know, Dublin, there's no real excitement about them at the moment. Do you know, when always
still,
they were a case of who are Dublin
still
favourites? Yeah, I think they'll win. I think this big 2 weeks for the group now to get them together and make sure they get a result. But going forward, there's just there doesn't seem to be a spark there at the moment. It's going to be a development phase.
Just to be clear, because maybe you didn't hear me, when you said you think they're going to win, you mean the Monaghan game this weekend?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, because I cut underneath you and said that the Dubs are still favourites, short odds for the Leinster Championship this year. So, do you want to stick your neck in the chopping block for that as well?
No,
I think Dublin will last. Next time. I think Dublin will last.
Okay.
I'm massively confident on it. I don't know why I'm saying that, what I'm basing it on, but just I'm getting it.
I think.
What a difference to 5 years ago.
The next 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to have a fun Leinster Championship. Lads, there's a hell of a good weekend.
That is the case.
hell of a good weekend of Gaelic football ahead. There's a fine Sigerson final tonight. We'll all be keeping an eye on it. Best of luck to the teams there, as we said earlier on. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship and the club championships across the codes. Support for the life you're after. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, thank you for hopping on a Wednesday and allowing me to head to the United game yesterday and getting this done a little later in the week. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, and fellas, be good.
So, Tom, did you get my Wimbledon tickets?
No. Struggling on that front, James. Maybe we might have a listener that
we just get emails in about people giving out, spotting us when we're on the piss. We don't get any good news emails. Where's the good news stuff, Tommy? Come on.
That's a fact.
You text me for Wimbledon tickets, and you also text me for tickets to something else in 2 weeks. So I'm struggling to help you out on. How can you not get Kerry Dublin tickets?
For a Kerry match, Jimmy. Huh? Come on. You should be drawing the
ball. I have tickets, but I need to... These are a gift for someone important. I need the premium for...
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, you're talking the premium Paddy Andrews there, so it's
for... Oh, come on.
Okay. Yeah, I'll text you offline, Paddy.
I look forward to that. I look forward to that request. Have a good week, boys. Great.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, fellas. Talk soon. Bye-bye.